Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
In our recent reflections on the sources of Franciscan spirituality, we looked at the Holy Spirit, and then we looked at the Bible. Today we'll look at the sacred liturgy as another source from which St. Francis found his spiritual strength and his inspiration. In sacred scripture, Francis found his inspiration, his doctrine. He found God's revelation expressed in words there. In the liturgy, he found God who not only speaks, but who operates too, who works. And he found the source of God's grace for his children. So both scripture and the liturgy have Christ Jesus as their center. Christ who's revealed in the scripture and who's adored and glorified and who sanctifies the liturgy. The word liturgy comes from the Greek word liturgia, which means public service or work. It was originally understood in the pagan world as a service or work done in the name of or on behalf of the people. That included civil services as well as religious ones too. For Christians, the liturgy is the public worship of the people of God. Catechism at number 1069 says that it's the participation of the people of God in the work of God. So we should keep that in mind. Worshiping God, praying to God, having a relationship with Him isn't just a private affair. It's first and foremost public, actually. When you were baptized, the profession of faith which you professed or which your parents professed on your behalf if you were a child, that was a public profession of faith, not just a private one. And the liturgy, as we understand it in the church, is the work of God's people in worshiping the Lord. But it's first off the work of Christ. It's a work of our high priest who continues his work of redemption through the celebration of the sacraments. So the liturgy is the work of Christ, and it's also our sharing in his work. It's our sharing in his priesthood. Through the liturgy of the church, also in ancient times called the mysteries of the church, the work of Christ doesn't just remain a sterile memory of past events. Celebration of the liturgy makes Christ, and it makes his work present here and now. And that redeeming work of Christ is what gives life to the church. It's what renews the church as well. It's what sanctifies the body of Christ. St. Francis' liturgical sensibility came from his clear sense of concreteness and from his need and desire to live that which he knew and loved. In his spiritual life, he lives a liturgical cycle. He makes it tangible. Sometimes he even dramatizes it, giving it a poetic and a personal accent. And we know it's from the liturgy, from the mystery of Christ lived out and made present, that Francis draws his Christocentric objectiveness. It's there where his Christ-centered spirituality, again, is lived out concretely and objectively. Father Ciccarelli in his book says that St. Francis' whole spiritual edifice rests on simple, unshakable foundations which are found in the liturgical cycle, namely the worship of the Blessed Trinity, of Christ, and the veneration of Our Lady. Regarding the Blessed Trinity, St. Francis' biographers define him as the cultor trinitatis in Latin, which is the worshiper of the Trinity. Where is the Trinity worshipped? First and foremost, here in the liturgy, not just privately. In his admonitions, we hear Francis say that his fundamental concept is, quote, to continually adore and contemplate the living and true God. That's what he was aiming for in his life. And in his first rule, he tells his friars this. He says, at all times and seasons, in every country and place, every day and all day, we must have a true and humble faith and keep him in our hearts, where we must adore, honor, love, serve, praise, bless, glorify, and acclaim, magnify, and thank Him, the Most High, Supreme, and Eternal God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And St. Francis wants his friars, quote, always to prepare them themselves a habitation and an abode for Him who is the Lord God Omnipotent. Again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Regarding the sacred humanity of Christ, the Word made flesh, Francis searches for him and adores him in his mysteries, principally the mysteries of Bethlehem, of Calvary, and in the Eucharist too. St. Francis is the first one to reenact the liturgical celebration of Christmas by staging it, by introducing a manger scene into the town of Grotto. So where do our Christmas manger scenes come from? St. Francis, actually. Francis also sanctifies the season of Lent with a special devotion. He composes a liturgical office of the Passion, which is completely interwoven with passages from sacred scripture. And Francis also restores a sense of Eucharistic devotion and respect and reverence by restoring three rundown churches, by having St. Clare make sacred linens for the altars, and by assisting himself every day at the Eucharistic celebration. Remember, St. Francis didn't want to be a priest because he felt he wasn't worthy to be one. That's how deep his humility was and his respect for the priesthood, but also the Eucharist too. If he couldn't assist at Mass every day, he would have the gospel read to him, the gospel of the day read before eating anything. He would listen to the words of the gospel with great devotion, even kissing the holy book with great reverence. He communicated, he received the body of Christ as often as he could, and with such love and devotion that it rubbed off on the friars and on others as well. Francis's liturgical sensibility stands out as well in his recitation of the breviary. During his time, almost every monastery and every church had its own liturgical books. It was a liturgical free-for-all. There was no unity, actually. At the Franciscan chapters, general chapters of 1217 and 1219, Francis noted this. He noticed the diversity of breviaries among the friars in their different communities. He changed that. He made it so that all the friars had could only use one breviary, and it was the breviary that was used in the papal chapel at Rome. Pope Nicholas VI, 70 years later, made that breviary obligatory for the whole church. He actually confirmed what St. Francis had done 70 years before. So why do we pray the Liturgy of the Hours according to the Roman Rite? Well, at least in part, it's actually because of St. Francis. Francis recited the breviary every day. During trips, he would stop and remain on his feet, even in the midst of the rain. Out of respect for the praises of God, he would recite the breviary on his feet. When he was sick, he would ask one of the clerics to help him in his recitation, and he exhorted the brothers to recite with devotion the breviary in such a way, he said, that the voice accords with the thought, and the thought is one with God. St. Bonaventure, Francis's faithful interpreter, noted five reasons for the recitation of the divine office, and we'll close with those today. Why should you pray the breviary? This is what St. Bonaventure says. Reason number one, recite the divine office is to echo the angels in their praises of God when you do that. Reason number two is to thank the Lord for his continual benefits and to praise in determined hours the one who at night was born of the Virgin Mary, in the morning appeared before the judge, Pilate, was resurrected at dawn, was scourged and sent the Holy Spirit at the third hour, was crucified at the sixth hour, died at the ninth hour, instituted the Eucharist at Vespers, and was buried at Compline. Three, we recite the breviary in order to awaken an incessant devotion and to have a fire of divine love rekindled in our hearts. Four, to encourage the faithful to prayer by our example. And five, we recite the divine office for the beauty and the decorum of the Christian world. So says St. Bonaventure. So Francis didn't have a formal or ascetic or an erudite, so he didn't have a very learned liturgical sensibility. His spirit of the liturgy was lively and an intimate participation in the mysteries of the church, in the mysteries of Christ, the mysteries of the church's annual cycle, the cycle that they propose to the faithful every year. He strove to open up the soul to receive the grace which comes from the liturgical celebrations, the grace which comes from making Christ present here and now. So let's ask Our Lady in the spirit of St. Francis to have a deep love for the liturgical mysteries in liturgical celebrations, so that Christ can be more present to us, and so that we can make that presence of Christ better known to all the world. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Amen.